You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 78. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Beyond the High Road, a podcast dedicated to healing your heart and life following the grief of alienation. I'm your host, Shelby Milford, twice certified life coach with an advanced certification in post-traumatic growth and grief. I'm also a target parent. Using proven concepts based heavily in neuroscience and psychology, I developed my own playbook for reintegrating with life and reframing my role as my daughter's mother, even while living apart. I went from feeling agonized, helpless, and directionless to feeling energized, confident, and most importantly, at peace. Today, I get to help other parents like you to do the same. Stay tuned.
Hey y'all, how you doing? Today we are going to be talking about assumptions, making assumptions, and how our mind works against us more often than not when we haven't learned how to manage said mind. You guys probably heard me talk about, like, I either write on my sliders with dry erase markers, and I also use my notes app quite a bit in my phone. And the other thing I do is occasionally, if I have an idea and I don't feel like writing it all out, it's more of like a concept, bit more vague, then I record a voice message for myself to go back to and for episode ideas and for whatever is going on. So I had one this morning that I listened to that it was more of one of those more abstract concepts, but I knew it was something and I knew I was recording today. So a couple weeks ago, I was watching a dog by the name of Mikey. Mikey was his name, is his name, still around, thankfully, after you hear the story. And so this was actually an acquaintance. It was just for a quick night, like less than 24 hours, really, to watch him. And so I was like, it's fine, sure, whatever, bring him on over. I don't really know this dog, though. When the owner dropped him off, there's a point to the story. So when the owner dropped him off, she said he was quirky, but did not mention anything that I needed to be worried about. He seemed like an agreeable dog. He was a little bit older. Most of the afternoon, I had finished up with my clients and I was doing some work in the garden. So he was outside sitting in my front yard with me, with my other dog, with Buddy, chilling, like just laid there in the yard, didn't try to get up, didn't try to leave, go anywhere. He's a very chill dog. So I was like, all right, great. She had said, you don't really ever need to use a leash with him and whatever. I take them all on a walk right after dinner time. We take this walk, 2.5 mile walk, nothing crazy, but also he got some exercise. By the time we got home, it was verging on like 8 o'clock around here. This time of year in South Florida, that's about when it starts to get dark. We came through the house. There's a point to this story. I'm not just telling you about Shelby's dog sitting excursions. We go through the house and I just transplanted an oak tree and some other stuff in the front of the backyard and I needed to water it. And so I brought everybody outside with me and turned on the hose and started to water everything. Oh, I need to mention too that Mikey is all black corgi-ish. It's a mixed breed, right? Corgi was reaching for the owner. But so I go outside, turn on the hose and I'm watering all the plants. And I look back and I don't see Mikey. I wasn't too worried at the time. Finished watering. I look back. I called for him. And then I called for him a second time. He peeked his head around the first time. And then I waited. It was just a couple of minutes. And I was like, that's weird. Why is he heading towards the front yard? And so that's when because I don't have a fence right now, I was like, oh, shit, maybe I should go check on him. So I dropped the hose right where I was. I went to go turn it off. And when I did, I realized that, you know, that like when you don't screw the hose onto the spigot properly, then sometimes it'll spray, especially if you're using a gun on the other end. Anyway, this is what happens. And there's this off spray that's hitting my outdoor furniture. I realized that when I got close that it did sound loud and it might have spooked dear old quirky Mikey that had been creeping around the side of the house. So I was like, oh shit. So I turned off the hose and ran around, sure that I was going to find him right there. And he was gone. Just gone in thin air. And the thing is because now it's just gotten dark, and Mikey is black. And my street, it's just a little gated community. There's only 29 homes in here. We have two streetlights on the top end and on the bottom end. So there was no light. I couldn't find him. So I had neighbors searching the neighborhood with me down in the cul-de-sac by the mailboxes everywhere. I am freaking the fuck out at this point because, like I said, I have him for a night. I was blaming myself. Why did I even let him out after the walk? I should have whatever. And so probably an hour after not finding him, I'm like, shit, I'm going to have to call the owner. But before I did, I went and I don't know if you guys know what Paw Boost is. It's basically like the lost and found for animals in any major city that you're in, at least in the U.S. I don't know about overseas, like in different countries. But so I put it on that. And once you put it on Paw Boost, that goes out to all the local lost and found animal Facebook communities and also goes to the shelters and it does whatever. It's actually a great service. Anybody is ever missing an animal, Paw Boost is the way to go. They do a lot of the legwork for you and you provide a picture and whatever. And then these people, if you've ever lost an animal, it doesn't matter what city you're in because I've done this and seen it done in like where I was in Texas. People, there's like, you know how like there's a special breed of people for each thing. Like if you ever held a garage sale, the kind of people that come to your garage sale, there is a particular regular crew that comes through. They're looking for specific things down to like the year and make and color. It's a different breed of people. And the same thing with like runners. If you've ever been a runner, runners clubs, they have their own type of person. For lost and found animals, the people that pay attention to these posts at all times, even when they don't have a lost or found animal, or their job is not at a humane society, and maybe even they don't even have animals currently, they live for it. They're amazing. These people, I'm not making fun. I'm giving a shout out to these people because holy shit, they are on it. The second that a post comes out or a new lost animal comes out, it spreads like wildfire. And they'll be texting you and calling, what was the last intersection you saw them at? What was he chipped? Is he this? Is he that? All the questions come out. And that information gets passed on to all these different little subgroups, ones that you would never know about. So Mikey was put on blast all throughout my town, right? On every piece of social media, on every neighborhood app, every basket weaving club with an interest in animals, everywhere. Within 15 minutes of making that Paw Boost alert, there was all of these different responses already on Facebook. Somebody had written in, we think we saw a black dog with that description on such and such cross streets, tried to get him, he wouldn't come. So of course I jump in my car and I'm looking around. At this point, I've already called the owner. The owner's on her way back from down south. A concerned neighbor responded to one of the next door posts and posed a question in the comments. And I responded back with the status of Mikey based on the information, the second, third, fourth hand information that I received put together from the Facebook comments. So I responded back to her as though that story that I had put together, adding two and two and two and two together as facts. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. In my mind, I had already decided where Mikey was and where he was headed. I was so sure that he was in a certain grid, you know, in a certain four block radius. Come to find out that Mikey was in fact not there. He was found at about 12:45 that night or the next morning. So it wasn't too long, but also I live right on a major road. It's like this state road right off of it anyway. And so I was really concerned about him crossing that road and getting hit. Of course, so is the owner and what have you. But I had that story that I had concocted in my head based off the pieces of information that were provided to me and then repeated that story as if it was fact. Where Mikey was found was nowhere close to that four block radius. Nowhere close to it. And in fact, there's no way that I could actually know where he was unless he was wearing like a GoPro on his head. Even then, still be hard to doubt. kind of had me chuckling after, of course, he was already found and safe and everything was a happy ending. Although, like I said, he did cross that major road and that somebody found him like in a Walmart parking lot. So he was in an entirely different place. And it got me thinking about us and our situation of alienation. How do you go from thinking about a dog being lost, to our situations and our own children? Because I was so sure the information that I had was accurate and correct. I was convinced that my story that I had concocted in my head based on what I wanted to believe was true, because I didn't want him to have crossed the major highway. So I wanted to believe an alternate story, and I looked for all the evidence to support the alternate story. In fact, I told you he was found in the Walmart parking lot, right? But there was even a comment about somebody seeing a smaller black dog across the street from Walmart at like 9:40 that I completely disregarded. I was like, no, that couldn't be him. He wouldn't have gotten over there. And so I dismissed that comment completely and made my story based off of the facts that supported the story that seemed most likely to me and one that served me the most, right? I didn't want to be responsible for Mikey ever crossing the major road. Now, I did this all unconsciously. I had no clue I was doing this. Of course, I realized this after the fact, and that's when I'm chuckling to myself. I'm like, holy shit. I was so committed to believing what I thought, and I was actually spreading that out, which would make the whole search process that much harder because I'm leading people off the path. I think it's so telling about what our human brains do with information that is in front of us and what we're willing to see and what we're not willing to see. Even when that information, like the story that we want to believe, isn't serving us. So what it made me think about was parents that are angry with their children, frustrated because in their minds, their children are disrespecting them. Their children are saying awful things about them, gossiping about them, making fools of them. Now, I'm not saying that in your situation, your kids aren't acting disrespectfully, and that's really up for interpretation because what is disrespectful, but I'm not saying that your kids haven't done things or said things that you felt hurt by, but we all do this. I just proved this to you with a silly dog story. We will assume that we know all the details to a story that we couldn't possibly know the details to. How could we know what our children are saying about us, quote unquote, behind our backs, unless we were there firsthand hearing it? You know what I'm saying? How could we know what our children's intentions are, what their motives are? I'm willing to bet that there are so many times for each and every one of us that we've made assumptions about somebody else's intentions or motives or actions even that were entirely untrue and continue to be destructive in that relationship and maybe other relationships too. Just as I've always said with you guys that I think it's so important to question what we're telling ourselves is fact. So often we dismiss the very pertinent information because we don't want to see that, even if seeing that thing would actually benefit us more, right? Because of the story that we're already believing, the narrative that we've had already, the way that we deduce going forward and the way that we suppose about somebody else needs to fit in with that narrative if we're going by our reactive thinking, the emotional part of the brain's thinking. So I think it's so important we say this about our kids all the time, right? Or at least, I don't know, I do. Like, we know that with our kids that critical thinking and like deductive reasoning and all that kind of stuff is stunted as they go through something like alienation, right? And so I believe though your brain and your prefrontal cortex was likely fully developed by the time that you did have children, the PFC is fully grown by 22, 24. But I still think that having gone through trauma, well, I don't think it. I've read this over and over. There's a lot of data out there to support this, that when we go through and carry unresolved trauma, that parts of our PFC and our executive functions dull over time if we've been in extended trauma response. And so we have to, just like our children will whenever they're ready to heal, we also have to redevelop these areas, intentionally practice these skills of incorporating our PFC and our reasoning part of our brain as often as we possibly can. Because if you are one that is, I know for me, since I can remember as a kid, I was always just a quick reactor. And that tells me that that's not just a personality trait. I used to think it was like this cute, like fiery personality trait of mine, but really it's not. I mean, maybe a little bit of it, but I can almost guarantee that that reactive spark in me was actually coming from earlier trauma. And so this is an area for me that I've really, really had to have diligence in practicing and retuning, fine-tuning, and maybe even just developing myself. Actually, probably there were certain areas of my cognitive functions that didn't really develop for me too. And I'm assuming also for many of you too, because we probably wouldn't have gotten ourselves into the situation of being alienated if we didn't carry some sort of trauma from our, I would want to say the probability of early childhood is usually the thing, but that's not my area. I'm supposing, like I'm telling you guys not to do. But yeah, so this is an area that would be very beneficial to you and to like the way that you're thinking, the quality of your thinking and the quality of your life moving forward. It'll change the whole climate inside of you when you start questioning what each one of the stories are that you have on the regular day-to-day basis, the things that you just take for granted or take as fact. Just right off the bat, you want to believe things. Oh yeah, that's just how it is. That's exactly what happened. We assume that they're talking bad about us, that they meant us harm. I see this a lot with parents like us in like on the Reddit posts and what have you. I see it a lot. And it makes sense why we would do it, right? It totally makes sense. We can do this with the simple things, you know, like Mikey, the dog's whereabouts, or we can also do it in areas that can really fuck up our lives. When we assume that we're not going to get the job, when we assume that we couldn't do better with our lives because of coming from alienation, something like alienation. Maybe in your mind, you have never seen yourself as like, this actually was said on the Bachelor finale last night. Sorry to maybe ruin that for all of you guys, but somebody said, I never saw myself as a main character. She's the next Bachelorette and she's an Asian American girl. And so she was like, I didn't grow up seeing others like me that were the main characters. They were always supporting roles. And so she never saw herself as being anything other than a supporting role, like not leading her own life and calling the shots for herself. And I thought that this was so relevant for so many of us. We're not all Asian American. And it doesn't have to be about a race or ethnicity thing. It also happens with us. If we've carried trauma from childhood, the chances are you may have limiting beliefs and a limiting mindset when it comes to what you see for yourself, what you see is possible for yourself. And I just think that this concept of questioning every single thing that you think is true is applicable here too. Each one of us can do whatever we want. We can create whatever we want in spite of our circumstances. It doesn't have to be that our lives were set up so that we could, like we're a shoe-in for a certain kind of life, right? If you want that certain kind of life, yeah, it may take more work, but you too can get there. And so just, I guess the other message here is that just because you have, and you've heard me say this a lot, I'm sure, but that just because maybe the hand that you were dealt initially is suck, doesn't mean that that hand is the last hand you'll play. It's only the last hand you'll play if you get up and walk away from the table. You can play through that, the shitty hand of alienation, and determine your next hand and play the shit out of that hand and then determine the next hand and then the next hand and the next hand, right? It's really all a matter of how much you're willing to continue to invest in your own self, how much dedication and commitment. And it all starts with what is happening inside here, the climate inside your brain, your noggin. And so if you're telling yourself there's no way that you could do XYZ, you will damn sure make sure you find every piece of evidence to support why you cannot do X, Y, and Z. Okay. And on, of course, the flip side of that, if you're telling yourself that you have a goal and you've never created it before, but damn Skippy, you're going to create it, and you decide ahead of time that you don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to be successful, that you're going to make it happen. You decide that before you even embark on like carrying out the steps to get to that goal. I know I'm going to be successful. I don't know how, but I am. That's actually what I've done with me. That's exactly what I did, is I had to be willing to commit entirely fully in myself and to believing that I, no matter what, I will figure it out. And I'm committed to that. And I will try all the ways until I get to where I want to be. And then once I'm there, I'm going to go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. That's how it's been for the last 5 years for me. Things don't always happen and they're not always easy. And in fact, I don't think that we would want them to be easy, right? But that doesn't mean just because they're not easy or you haven't achieved it yet that you need to give up. That's like there are signs pointing to you need to give up. No, those aren't signs. This is just life. Life is difficult sometimes. And yeah, maybe we did have a shitty hand when it came to this alienation situation, but it doesn't mean that you can't play through it. So it all starts with what you're willing to believe about yourself and your potential and what you're willing to create for yourself moving forward. Don't take no for an answer, okay? And so I just turned that into an entirely different episode. Well, it does. The story that we commit to actually affects every area of our lives. I initially was talking about when we are angry with our children because of what we're assuming is happening with them, because what we're assuming their intentions or their motivation is. We're assuming that we know how they feel. That's all stories most of the time, unless you were right there with them. Chances are, even if you were right there with them for one event, there are all these other events that you're filling in the blanks on. I'm just urging you here to question the stories that you're telling yourself. And of course, even if the stories are 100% true, if they're not helping you to achieve and get to where you want to go, then maybe question your commitment to repeating them to yourself. I can tell myself that I'm alienated all day long till the cows come home. But if I then decide to commit and double down on it and be like, I'm alienated, and that means that my life is over, well, that's a whole different story. I can either use it for or against me. Even the seemingly factual pieces of data or information that you have swimming up there in your mind, chances are you have so many of them, you can't even count. And so that's why daily, I correct myself all day long. I'm like, wait, do I know that that's true? No, I don't. I was just making that up. I just made that up in my mind. Does it help me? No. Okay, well, let's stop thinking it. That's exactly like the conversation that I have in my head. And it helps me so much. It's unbelievable how much that part of our brain wants to cut us off and limit us in the name of trying to keep us safe or save face or whatever it's doing. But really, it's causing us to, for me anyway, it causes me to stay in this really bland, quote unquote, safe zone. And that safe zone, actually, it causes more harm than good. Causes more harm to my relationship that I have, not only with all of the people that I talk with on a regular basis, but also my relationship with my daughter. Relationship exists in each of our minds. And so my relationship with my daughter, I can be actively working on 24/7, really. I don't have to always be having exchanges with her, like conversational exchanges. I could go, like I have, for months and months and years and whatever on end and not actually have a two-way conversation with her, and I can still be working on my relationship with her every day, all the time. People think, oh, what's the point? I can't talk to them. I don't have a relationship with them anymore. And that is not true. That is not true. You absolutely, anybody that you think about, even your ex or your ex's new partner, if you think about them, you have a relationship with them. And so I got a lot of information out like in that short period of time. I guess the main message I have here is don't just allow any old crappy thought in and accept that as truth. If you do that, that's what I call unconscious living. You're living at the effect of the world. Things are just happening at you and you're just sort of like, I think of it as like being like on a tumble cycle in a dryer, right? You're just being kind of like flopped around whichever way the other clothes hit you. Something's heavier, then it's going to push you to the side, and then you're up, and then you're down, and you're all over the place. You're at the effect of your environment. And instead, this is the simplest mindset shift, is to be like, wait, does that thought or idea, something as simple as my child hates me, my child has disowned me, doesn't want to speak to me. All of those things are not fact. They are not facts, like so far from fact. That is not a fact. Would be, I have not spoken with my child since, for me, I haven't spoken with her via Zoom since the second week of October. That's a fact. Repeat that to yourself. That actually feels a lot better for me anyway. Some people are like, it feels disheartening. Then there's other work to do. I don't want to go into all that because now I'm getting all kinds of wording in the weeds, but tell yourself the truth. So often, all of us, we go out there telling ourselves lies, and then we spread those lies out into the universe. And then we speak those lies over our life and make those come in, like the results of these lies that we made up in our mind, the result of our life. So just be very careful with what you're saying and what you're speaking over yourself. I don't mean that to make you all like anxious or nervous, but just like be selective with what you are allowing into this mental temple of yours, this temple of you. So that's all. Just things aren't always as they seem, for sure. Most of the time they're not. Even when it comes to our own minds, the stories that we're telling ourselves. So that's all I have for you. Have a wonderful week, you guys. Listen, don't forget, Friday, Facebook Live, noon Eastern Daylight Time in the private group. And then also we are coming up towards, I'm going to be doing an event, a live event, which I will announce next week. But just know that I'm going to have a little workshop seminar, different than just the Friday Facebook Lives. Those are pretty informal, just like a discussion. There's going to be a live like coaching event that I will do. We're going to do the third week of April. Third week? Yeah. Anyway, so this is Easter weekend. I just realized. So to those of you who celebrate, happy Easter. Oh, just saying that just made me think of a really sweet memory of my daughter when she had her little crown and her pony. I'll have to maybe post that in the private Facebook group. Anyway, happy Easter to all y'all out there who do celebrate. Don't forget to rate and review. Okay. Bye, you guys. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, please make sure to click subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. Also, for bite-sized clips and tips, be sure to find me on TikTok or Instagram. See you next week.